Hi, I'm Ruthie, and I have a recorder. Tune in Wednesdays from 4 to 5 to Out There. We'll meet people and plants around the streets and paths of Northampton, and we'll think about ways we can share the world. Here on Valley Free Radio, or archived online at weatherbeer.com/out there. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if they laugh at us. Let them take the bus and need a sickle for us. They can have a Cadillac and T-1-2, but give me my rocket bicycle for two. So thanks for tuning in today. As often, I'm trying to get my papers together, and I got these notes that are floating around the studio. So today's show, a bunch of it's going to be about the Pulaski Park grand reopening. It happened on Friday. I got a bunch of clips from that. And if you haven't seen the park or walked through it or hung out in it, you should check it out in downtown Northampton next to the Academy of Music. There's lots of new features, which you'll hear some of the speakers talk about. What else? I have a little clip from our friend Maurice talking about getting stranded on the island in the Connecticut River near Montague when the Northfield Mountain Storage Station Dam was released, or however you call that. And, some gleanings, this, that, and the other. Yesterday, Tuesday, I was at the Tuesday Farmers Market downtown, and someone walked by with a t-shirt that said, "My therapist has whiskers." I thought, sweet, I got whiskers. But then I looked more closely and saw there was a picture of a cat on her shirt. Oh, well, I like cats, too. Let's see what other comments from the week. Oh, today I was emptying the downtown trash barrels. And one of the usual characters was downtown sitting on a bench with a sign. I heard he'd been out of town for a little while. I hadn't seen him for a little bit. Anyway, I was emptying the trash barrel next to him, and he said, "You still working for Pedal People?" And I said, "Yeah, are you still sitting on that bench?" But it probably wasn't very nice of me. So I was riding down State Street on my way to catch the rail trail back to Florence, and parked in someone's driveway right next to the street was a yellow bike, and I had a little tag on the front handlebars. And I thought maybe it would have a for sale sign on it. But when I got close, it says Northampton Yellow Bike hanging off the handlebars. And it also says it around on one of the frame tubes. And then on the top tube of the frame, it says, "This yellow bike is free for anyone to use for short trips around town. It's maintained by a guy who loves bikes and wants to share them. Please be kind to it so everyone can use it. Don't steal it. Don't unlock it. Ride it softly. It won't take shredding. Return to downtown NoHo when you're done. Check brakes and tires before riding. Ride safely and at your own risk. If it needs air or service, is abandoned, trashed, or left somewhere weird, or if you have a bike or repair money to donate, write yellowbikenoho@gmail.com. And that's all I know about that project. I think that was Sunday morning, I think, on State Street when I saw that, and then I think the next day I saw one somewhere else on State Street, and then the next day I saw one on the rail trail behind behind A to Z. Looked like it was loaded up with someone's stuff parked by the bushes there. I'm curious to find out more about that. And while we're on the topic, I'll remind people of the Bike Lab.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Venga para el Bike Lab de Northampton y se divertirá mucho, le enseñará muchas lecciones como arreglar bicicletas.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue,
11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Ya súbase a la bici, compa. Trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta, ya de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá.
And that reminds me of something else I saw downtown today. There was a sign hanging on the fence in front of the courthouse that said that you can test drive electric cars someday soon in downtown Northampton. I think like in the Masonic's, no, not the, in like the Armory Street parking lot. I forget when the date was, sometime in the next couple weeks. And I got to look up a couple comments I have about electric cars. But that also reminds me of electric bikes. My friend Paige is working on getting one set up, and I want to do a show sometime in the near future about helping people get, if you know, if they're trying to go car light or if they're, you know, trying to enhance their low impact transportation options. I want to do a show about electric bikes. If you have a lot of experience with electric bikes, maybe let me know. You can email me, ruthie@pedalpeople.coop. And I also wanted to mention, if you have, you know, lithium ion batteries for your bike light, bike, whatever, they'll keep longer. Their lifespan will be longer if you keep them topped off or keep them fully charged. Well, the main thing I was going to say about the electric cars is about how actual air pollution is a relatively small part of the pollution and costs incurred by motor vehicles. So much more of it is in the manufacture and in the use of, like, the pavement and the use of space. Many electric cars still use the same space, which contributes to, you know, sprawl and neighborhoods not being bikeable, walkable, etc. That whole cycle. Okay, so I'm going to get to... here, I'll just play this little story that Maurice told me downtown this morning.
Yeah, so tell me.
Okay, my name is Maurice Dupois. I was born here in Northampton, Massachusetts. And yesterday, I was in...
Yesterday.
Yeah, Montague, Massachusetts. I was on an island called Smeed Island. Mm-hmm. And I'm a geologist.
This is up in the Connecticut River.
Yes. Uh-huh. These were found on the island. Now, the Indians used to live there. I don't know if you can see this.
Describe them.
All right. This is called a pestle. And look at the patina on it.
Like a mortar and pestle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
This is stone about the size. You can hold it in your palm. It's like two palms big.
It's very smooth.
Like the size of a... mango,
yes.
A yellow mango.
That's
it's smooth,
right.
Yes.
This is known as a celt.
And
this was... Now, we're talking about Paleolithic period of time, mm-hmm. which is about 12,000 years old.
Uh-huh.
These objects... This is a celt. This is probably used as a canoe weight
uh-huh.
or fishnet weight.
Uh-huh.
I found many other objects, hatchets and so forth, so on, because I knew the history... The history book is called Press Key. If you go to Montague Library or this library.
The Forbes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go look up Press Key. Preske.
Uh-huh.
The history of Montague. And you shall find out the same information I got.
Uh-huh.
The Indians used to live on an island there and on colonial contact. However, the island was once connected to the mainland at one remote period of time. So I found incredible objects there.
So you go out there with frequency?
Yes.
Uh-huh. How do you get out there?
I take the bus to Franklin Transport uh-huh. System, and I get off at the confluence.
Okay.
Going just before you arrive in Greenfield, uh-huh. you get off at that road, you walk it down, uh-huh. and you come to the bridge that goes to Montague.
Uh-huh.
But you go down the hill into the river district. And there's bedrock there, so you can easily walk out to the island when the waters subside.
So what happened yesterday?
Well, yesterday, all of a sudden I heard the siren.
Well, so you walked out to the island, you were doing your thing on the island,
yeah.
It was a hot summer day,
yeah.
You're enjoying the river.
Correct.
Looking for your things.
And what happened was the siren went off. I said, I got to get off this island. it was too late. I was in the northern part of the island, working my way back to the southern so I can ford across the river to the shore. And it was too late. The water was coming down. It was deep, and it was very rapid. The current was so rapid. If I waded across that, I wouldn't be alive today.
So you knew when you heard the siren, you knew what it meant?
Yep.
Because you'd been out there before and heard it before. Yep. What are you doing? What have you done in the past when you hear the siren?
No, I never heard the siren before. This was the first time. And I said, so there's something going on. And they have signs in Turner's Falls that beware when they open the floodgate or the dam. So, didn't have a sign there. Well, because they don't. This is it's a remote area.
Yeah.
And so forth. You got to beware of copperheads, rattlesnakes, you know, bobcats, bears, all that sort of thing.
So, okay, so you heard the siren and you saw the water was starting to rise.
Yeah, I tried to hurry back and cross, but the river level was too high.
What did you think was going to happen?
Well, I thought since I didn't have pajamas, I would have slept there all night long. But I called Turner's Falls Police, and they said, we're going to have the fire department come out and get you. They did. In an aluminum boat, they found me. I told them exactly where I was. It was incredible, Ruth. Incredible. What we had to go back, what they had to go through to get me. You know, fallen logs, brush, all that sort of thing. We had to crawl over and everything. They couldn't moor the boat where I was because it was not safe enough to. Current was too fast and so forth. So they had to moor their boat at the northern end of Smeed Island. And then they came and got me. And then helped me back to the boat. And then we got across. Yeah, so it was nice. It did a marvelous job. His name was Captain Brian McCarthy. And it was his fellow employee was Chris Mason. Those are the two firemen, as well as the guy who was at the boat. And there was other firemen there because they had a backup boat. In case something happened to their boat. So they were waiting on shore on the Montague side. It was a marvelous rescue mission.
Great.
Okay, so I hope...
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for sharing.
So that was Maurice Dubois. This is a friend from downtown. So you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ 103.3 FM in Northampton. I'm Ruthie Woodring. For most of the rest of the show, we're going to have some recordings from the celebration of the Pulaski Park opening in downtown Northampton that happened on Friday. Mayor David Narkowitz was emceeing this.
So it's my great privilege to introduce and thank Stephen Stimson Associates and welcome to the podium Lauren Stimson.
I know you are all getting very warm out there in that south-facing lawn, so I will try to be brief. I do have something prepared that is slightly emotional because this is a big deal for us, working in our backyard, so bear with me. Can you all hear me? Great. Okay, I'll try to speak up. My name is Lauren Stimson, and I'm a principal and a landscape architect with Stephen Stimson Associates. I represent the team of designers and consultants that worked on the re-envisioning of this park. 8 years ago, we won a competition to redesign Pulaski Park. We were thrilled. Many of us in the studio had actually gone to UMass. We were familiar with this place. We knew Northampton and the Valley really, really well. Unfortunately, after the excitement, like Mayor Narkowitz had said, there was no funding. The project was shelved for almost 5 years. We had all but forgotten about it until late 2012 when Jim gave me a call and he said, it might come back to life. Are you interested? That was the beginning of the design process and here we are today with you. This city is a melting pot. There's a distinct sense of history here. The farming, the river, the mills, the industry, it has real authenticity. It has grit. A connection to the past. What I love about it, though, is that it's coupled with attitude. An attitude about shaping its own future through social and environmental change, freedom of speech, boldness with diversity. We started this entire design process by engaging all of you, the community, and we asked you, what do you want? Through a process of public meetings over 6 months, we heard multiple things. A civic plaza, a large lawn, a play area for children, a performance space, flexible gathering, places to sit in the sun, in the shade, a sustainable water feature, something for everybody inside this tiny pocket of a park, expressed in a way that celebrates the heritage and the atmosphere of this city. We also did a lot of research. What was this land before it was actually a park? We discovered it was always open space. It was always common land since the colonial settlements as far back as 1653. Animals grazed here, public markets occurred, and eventually at the turn of the 20th century, the first public park was built. And at the time, it was actually on the banks of the Mill River, which actually was right over there. Many years later in the 70s, the park was rebuilt. And here we are, 2016, and the city has rebuilt it once again. This is the natural evolution of a landscape. It isn't like a building or architecture that's static. A landscape is made of living things, of plants, people, water, soil, and the needs and functions of these living things transform with the seasons. They mature with age and they change over time. The park you see here today is an interpretation of what is distinctly Northampton right now. But we believe the elements are flexible enough to grow with your community over the next century. The Main Street Plaza is the new front door. Permeable pavers, local stone, this heroic curb cut that extends into the entire park for 150 feet. It takes dirty water off of Route 9. This is an unbelievably progressive thing to do in New England. It has not been done yet at this scale. You are the first city to do this in this region, in this part of the country. All of these things say, welcome to Northampton. This is a city that cares about its environment and the way it can contribute to a healthy regional ecosystem. Movable furniture in the plaza, a 50-foot long urban lounge, an expansive south-facing lawn, festive string lights, a nature play area. They all support the lively social scene, but they also give you flexibility and options for how you want to use the park. These elements encourage you to be here late into the evening and throughout every season. The grove of trees behind us that we saved, planted below with a woodland garden, give form to the ecological history of the site, restored with many of the same ground covers you would have seen on the banks of the Mill River. And the new materials of the park reflect the history and culture of the city. Industrial rolling carts that people are sitting on in the plaza, rusty steel, they're all a nod to your Milltown heritage. The granite blocks over there, they're salvaged from an old mill in Central Mass. The water feature, the seat walls from Goshen stone, they reflect the geology and the great legacy of the farm walls built as you move west through the valley. In the play area, black locust logs for the kids to climb on. Those grow on the banks of the Connecticut River. Every element in this park, visible and invisible, is considered, it's authentic, and it represents a sense of place. We made this happen because you guided us. Thank you first and foremost to the community of Northampton. I also want to thank Mayor Narkiewicz. His advocacy and support of this park throughout the 3-year design process kept this entire project moving forward. Thank you to the many city council members. I recognize several of you. You were at those community meetings alongside the city planner, Wayne Fiden, the folks at the Academy of Music, the other neighbors, and all the other stakeholder groups. Thank you especially to the Community Preservation Committee. They diligently reviewed our plans, our drawings, and appropriated the significant funding for this project. And thank you to the Massachusetts Park Grant folks, because this park has already received 2 grants from our state. Our client is officially the DPW, Department of Public Works. The former city engineer, Jim Larilla, and his team, David Valletta, Diane and Doug have been the most progressive client that we've ever had, and I am not overstating that. This is the truth. We work all around the country, Texas, Chicago, Boston, building parks. It is amazing that we built a park with this much social and environmental progressiveness just in our backyard. They helped us push the limits on making the environmental ethic of the city visible through the landscape. When we proposed something, they always said, let's do it. And when all is said and done, after you spend 3 years designing a project like this, community meetings, client meetings, CPC hearings, grant applications, design studies, models, really, really late nights, construction documents, specifications, the project goes to bid. And in this case, the project went to public bid. And then you hope for the best, because you are passing on your body of work, your vision as a steward of the city, to a contractor, and a contractor that ultimately needs to build it. So we hoped for the best, and I can honestly say we got the best. We got Mountain View. They're out of Chicopee, Massachusetts. This is Steve Corrigan. Please raise your hand. And his team, Liam Collins, John Cornell, and their entire crew are here. They've been on the project since we started last fall. We set the bar high with our expectations for this park. They understood our design intent from the beginning. Maybe it's because so many of them went to UMass. I don't know. We all speak the same language. We were always on the same page. We always knew this was going to be a different kind of park and a legacy project for everybody involved. Mountain View's dedication to the project, their willingness to think on the fly with us, often making lots and lots of changes and improvements in the field, is unparalleled in our experience. The quality of craft, especially in the masonry, the water feature, the Goshen stone walls, it all speaks for itself. Thank you for being our partners in the rebuilding of this important civic space. So I'm finishing up, and I'm gonna leave you with one final thought. I'm pregnant, which is why I'm a little emotional. I'm just gonna say that. This is a big deal. The fence is down, the park is open. We are so proud of what we've built with this city. And now it's up to you, the city and the community of Northampton, to take care of this landscape. It will need your respect and your diligence. We urge you to be the stewards of this common land. Everyone can play a role, large or small. Pick up the trash. Don't tread on the plants. Respect the furniture. Clean up after your dog. This is the only public green space in the heart of Northampton. Everyone needs this space. It represents you, your values, and your community. Treat this place like an extension of your own home, and it will be here for the next generation and continue to grow with all of us for the next 100 years. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lauren, and thank you, Stephen, who's here as well. Thank you so much to Stephen Simpson Associates and all of the work you've done on this project. I did want to point out at the back of the park, where folks are sitting on the back wall, there is a 100-year time capsule that was first buried back in 1976 when the original park, when the park was last opened. That's a project that was taken on by the Chamber of Commerce. And I wanted to just let people know that time capsule is intact. You're all invited back in 2076 for the grand opening. And I wanted to acknowledge, obviously, the chamber, and I wanted to acknowledge the former chamber director at the time and Florence resident, Paul Walker, who was in communication with us constantly about that time capsule and making sure that we preserved its history for the next generation. The other folks I wanted to mention was PVTA, Pioneer Valley Transit Authority, who worked with us to help us create that beautiful new and custom-made bus shelter, which is really designed into the park and is really going to improve the experience for people who are waiting for the bus at that really important public transit pulse point. So thank you.
That was David Narkowitz, Mayor David Narkowitz, talking about the Pulaski Park opening. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. If you haven't checked out the park yet, it opened last Friday. I encourage you to go check it out. One of the features it has is what's called a lounge, which is like a really long, I don't know how long it is, 50 feet or 30 feet or something. It's kind of like a big raised kind of bench. I feel like in some parks, the benches might have like handlebar sort of or armrest cross pieces on them so people can't lie down on them. But this looks like a great surface for lying down on. And my housemate Alex was telling me that in the deed, or when Pulaski Park was deeded to the city, there was, a regulation or whatever that said that overnight sleeping, or that sleeping is allowed in the park by day or by night, just no tents. And that this was tested back during the Occupy movement when people were occupying the park. All right, we're going to continue with David Narkowitz, and Stan Rosenberg has a few comments. And then after that, I talk with some people. Well, the Expandable Brass Band plays, and then I talk with some other people in the park about their reactions.
Before I introduce our next speaker, I just want to acknowledge, as Lauren did earlier, that this project, the Phase 1 project, was funded through a combination of $1.65 million in Community Preservation Act construction funding, together with a $400,000 Parkland Acquisitions and Renovations for Communities, or PARC grant, from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts that was awarded to Northampton in 2014. We've since received a second $400,000 PARC grant to supplement additional CPA dollars that have been allocated for phase two of the project. And Northampton is extremely appreciative to the Commonwealth for its help in funding this project, both the Patrick administration, who funded the first PARC grant, and now most recently the Baker administration. Governor Baker nor Lieutenant Governor Polito could join us today, but I did want to acknowledge former State Senator Mike Knapik, who is the new director of Governor Baker's Western Mass office, and I want to thank him for being here today to represent Governor Baker. And I also want to thank our two great state legislators for their support of this project, both in supporting the matching funds for CPA dollars. You see, for every dollar of CPA dollars that were put into this project, about 61% of it comes from the local surcharge that we collect. 39% of it comes from a state match, as well as supporting funding for the PARC grant program, which we've benefited not only on this project, but several other projects. Representative Peter Cocott had wanted to be with us today, but he has been delayed at the State House and sends his regrets and congratulations. We are fortunate to be joined today, however, by our friend and great state senator, and also a UMass grad like me, just to continue the theme here, the president of the Massachusetts State Senate, Senator Stan Rosenberg. Thank you.
Well, what a happy day. All right, so I am the wrap-up speaker, which means I need to be relatively quick because you are all wilting out there, and I can see that. But I want to offer a couple of additional words that have not yet been spoken, so I won't repeat all of the thank yous and congratulations that have already been articulated, but I want to offer a couple that have not yet been done. I want to thank the voters of Northampton for deciding to tax themselves by joining the CPA program so that you could leverage additional state support for programs and projects of various sorts that would help this community. Your willingness to tax yourselves says to the state you want to do your part and you look for a little bit of extra help from us. So this project, being funded with CPA funds locally and state funds, no doubt helped leverage the PARC grants that you got as well. So the fact that you were willing to step up and support efforts to improve your community with your local tax dollars made it possible for you to attract a significant amount of state funding. And on behalf of all of the members of the legislature, I want to say thank you for doing that, because that was the intention of the program, and it is working, and working in spades. The second thing that I want to do is to remind you that it wasn't too many years ago that Northampton was named America's number one small art city, the number one small art city in the United States of America. Well, this park is a jewel in the crown of this city. And it is not just a park.
It is actually a work of art. And it is a place that is designed to play off the natural environment that you live in, work in, play in, raise your families in. But it is also a gathering spot for people to come together, to enjoy each other's company, to share ideas, to engage in the work of democracy, where you build community by building relationships and networks, and you coalesce around the ideas that you want to put in place to improve your today for a better tomorrow for yourselves and your children and the generations that follow. So this is a park, but it's also a park that has been carefully designed to meet the values and the ideas and the ideals of this community so that you can gather together and experience all types of aspects of life together in this spot. And so with that, I want to close with an excerpt from Langston Hughes' poem, Freedom's Plow, which I think is apt for this gathering and for this situation and this celebration. And it's a fairly long poem, and I actually know one paragraph of it almost by heart. You won't know the mistake I make because I will make at least one, but you'll get the idea. He said, the eyes see their materials for building, see the difficulties too and the obstacles. The mind seeks solutions to the obstacles. Then the hand seeks the tools to till the soil, to cut the wood, to harness the power of the waters. So that one man's dream is not just his dream alone, but his dream and your dream and our dream, a dream belonging to all the hands that help, all the hands that build the community, a community of hands that help. Congratulations to everyone who helped. Enjoy this park.
Thank you, President Rosenberg. Thank you so much for being here today. And I have thanked a lot of people today, but I also want to thank the residents of Northampton. This beautifully renovated public space is an example of what a community can create when it puts its collective ideas, its civic energy, and its tax dollars together for our common good. I have every confidence that our community will work collectively to take care of this beautiful space to ensure that it will be enjoyed by many generations to come. So I only have one last thing to say. As the 44th mayor of Northampton in the year 2016, it is my honor and privilege to hereby officially declare Pulaski Park reopened. Enjoy!
over there.
There's picnic tables over there.
Is there like a walk? Is it... Lily, what do you think about this park?
I think it's transformed. I think it's going to be instantly a vibrant community watering hole. I can just feel it. I've just done a little circumambulation of the park, and every corner and every line I can see multifunction and beauty. So I'm thrilled.
What do you think about the park, John?
I love it. Yeah, it's such a big change. It feels like something Europe would do.
Yeah.
There's a public investment and creativity you normally don't see.
I really like it.
I do too.
I didn't know I'd like it as much as I do, but I really like it.
And the water catchment system.
Yeah. Were you all involved in like design and like giving public input for it?
I was with trees, but not a ton.
Because I remember talking to you about, you were saying like, oh, some of the trees they took out, or like, you know, they're approaching the end of their whatever anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like, there was a big debate of taking the Christmas tree out, and I'm really glad they did, because I think it allowed so much more flexibility with the plan. I think I had an input in making sure that these were more shade trees, because they had chosen really kind of like gumdroppy kind of trees that were never going to get more than 20, 25 feet.
Uh-huh.
And
we're just talking the shade, you
guys. We're gonna need shade there.
Yeah. What do you think about the park?
It's wonderful. I'm glad it's reopened.
I hope the van stays.
I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe they could pipe in the music, though.
No, thank you.
Nice bike ride.
Okay. Garbage cans. This is my domain. They're a little tight to get out, but... we can scrape the bottom off of that or something. Hey, Sue. You got any thoughts about the park?
It's nice, but for like that kind of money, we could have like done more housing and more stuff that's more necessary here. But yeah, it is very nice, but unfortunately, we have too many other issues that we need money for. Yeah, but it is nice. Gets everybody out.
Yeah, like how do you value a public space with when it comes to money? I think it's a hard question. I feel like.
Yeah, it is.
So, do you think it'll feel welcoming to a wide variety of people, like they say?
I'm kind of hoping.
Nice to see you.
Oh, there is a water fountain. I thought I saw a water fountain.
Oh, there's a doggy fountain, too.
Yeah.
There's a doggy fountain. Yeah, you got a little doggy one there.
See you later.
What do you like about Pulaski Park?
Like that it's new.
That's new. So when you went there,
there's like a merry-go-round.
A merry-go-round?
It's not a real merry-go-round. Like two or three people have to push around. Well,
I want to go up
there. And it's like fast.
Are there any other parks you go to that have merry-go-rounds?
No. It's not like a merry-go-round, but it's like a swing.
Yeah.
Or you push yourself. You don't like push yourself. There has to be lots of people on it.
Yeah.
Like a structure with lots of rope. You climb up it and then you're at the top and then some people have to push really fast. And there's a door where you can go inside.
Wow. So if you're on the top of it and you're spinning around,
you sometimes get dizzy and then you have to climb down.
Cool.
And then there's like that are colored different colors.
What do the different colors mean?
Like pink and blue and yellow and other colors on the stumps.
Yeah.
And then you climb all around it. And then there's like this huge stone. You climb up it and then you can slide down. It goes to a platform.
So if that description of Pulaski Park doesn't entice you, I don't know what will. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. The last voices were Song and Tao, and before that was me and Sue and Dwayne and John and Lily Lombard. What else? And the Expandable Brass Band was playing in the background. I think I'm going to play a little song. This is Chicago. Chicago for that song. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP, 103.3 FM in Northampton. And a couple of more things I wanted to say about Pulaski Park is thanks to Jim Larilla, who was the city engineer that he advocated for the bubbler for the water fountain. He said it was on the chopping block a few times, but he felt like it was really important and he advocated for that. I'm really grateful because that was something I had asked the city about years before, too, because there's, like, hardly anywhere downtown. Like, there's a hose in the parking garage, but there's not really any public place to get water. Like, to wash off your feet or your hands or something, until now. And also, I just wanted to say thanks to Jim and Lynn for their work to protect clean water in Western Massachusetts. All right, for the rest of the show, and by the way, stay tuned for Democracy Now! Up at 5 o'clock. But for the rest of Out There, Let's see. Next, I'm going to play, if for people who've listened to this show before or have listened to me before, they've probably heard me rant a little bit about the trash, particularly the cups in the downtown recycling barrels that are actually trash, but people try to recycle them. This morning when I was doing downtown trash and I was pulling them out, I got the chance to share on WHMP because they were set up there, the Bob Flaherty show. Bob Flaherty and Denise Fazeli were doing the WHMP morning show outside of Jake's. So Bob let me say a few things on WHMP about the cups not being recyclable and other items, black plastic, materials with lots of food, chunks of food and other things left in them. So hopefully that reached a broader listening audience. Then the other challenge about the cups in downtown trash is that there's a downtown character who goes around pulling them out of the trash and putting them in the recycling. Then I come through and pull them out of the recycling and put them in the trash. Anyway, Dwayne and I saw him this morning. We're like, dude, you know that those aren't recyclable, right? Oh, yeah, yeah. He's like, you gotta quit putting them in the trash. I mean, if you want to, you gotta quit putting them in the recycling. If you want to move them around, take them with the recycling and put them in the trash. Anyway, Dwayne and I both said something to him at different times. Like right after I said that to him, half an hour after that, Dwayne sees him again pulling cups out of the trash and putting them in the recycling. Anyway, there's much bigger issues in the world, so I'm not going to worry about that too much. Okay, now I'm going to play something from a friend of mine that I ran into on the street last night when I was pulling some trash.
Several days ago, I was in New Hampshire, and I saw a sign that said Cop Lives Matter, and the individuals who had that sign, they were not too friendly. And
you said there's lots of Trump signs up in the neighborhood.
I saw the Trump signs, and I also saw White Life Matters signs. And I got to tell you, I the whole thing was sad because nobody's saying that white lives don't matter. These individuals gave me that glazed look, and
they were in a truck.
They were in a truck, yeah, and that was sad. I mean, we have foreigners out there who really hate our guts, who are pretty much killing themselves to kill everybody else, and we're fighting amongst each other. And I was raised with cops. I've been around cops my whole life, and I have a lot of cops that are friends. And unfortunately, I for the first time in my life, I experienced some of that behavior that wasn't conducive to me or to any black person in one of the towns that I associate with. And I'm not even sure how to fix that. And, 95% of all cops, as far as I know, are good cops there. But unfortunately, the bad ones are the ones that are making noise for everybody else and creating this horrible situation.
What happened when these guys pulled up in the truck and they gave you the look, the
glaze? I had a short dialogue with them.
What'd you say? What'd they say? What'd you say?
I wanted to ask him why was he, giving me that glazed look, like if he hated me. Mm-hmm. And, I'm not going to quote everything I said, but and I explained to the gentleman that I was not his enemy. Mm-hmm. He's hating the wrong person, and that sign he had that cops lives matter. Yes, they do matter. I believe they matter. I believe we need them. They're important to the society. They're important to keep things in line. But obviously, the fact that he was giving me that look, there was something more to that. Mm-hmm. Why give me a dirty look? You don't even know me. Uh-huh. And that wasn't even a dirty look. It was a glazed look, a look of hate.
Yeah, how did you feel when you got that?
I, I got angry when he looked at me that way. I was like, what's your problem? I mean, you got to be kidding me. You know, I didn't, I just don't understand it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not mad. I'm not happy about certain things that happened to me the last 4 years, but I don't hate every white person I see, mm-hmm. you know. And I have a lot of white friends who helped me in some of the situations I was in that was unnecessary. And, you know, and that's an old cliche, right? You know, a lot of white people say that. Oh, I have black friends. So I have black friends. You know, I'm not racist, you know. And I don't know. I wish this situation can be fixed.
Yeah. So you engage with these guys a little bit, just trying to say, right. Like, there's no...
One of them did agree with me. He was, he did agree with me. He felt that I was right. The other, there's some stuff that I said that I don't want to repeat.
That's fine. I don't want you to either.
Yeah, I don't want to repeat that. I don't want to. You know, there's something you can do about it. I can't. You know, it is what it is. The reality is, the fact that people are voting, and this is my personal opinion, for Trump. We got a problem in this country. Period. That tells you how, you know, and it's not just white people. There are black people who are voting for him. When I watched a little bit of the Republican convention, and, you know, there was black people there. So, you know, whatever. You know, it's a problem that I can't resolve, and it's just not going to be pretty. I wish I could fix it.
Yeah. So that was a friend of mine in Florence last night. You're listening to Out There. Well, who prefers to remain anonymous? You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. And here's maybe a new show. At least I'm not familiar with it on Valley Free Radio.
Are you looking for a cure for all your funky ills? Well, I have just the right soul vaccination. Tune in to the Soul Patrol on Valley Free Radio and join me, Dave Keating, while I take you on a tour of the great soul, funk, and R&B of years gone by while keeping up with the contemporary soul artists of today. That's the Soul Patrol, Tuesdays from 1 to 3 p.m. starting August 9th on 103.3 FM, Valley Free Radio.
Drum and Bass with DJ Fife is on 8 o'clock on Saturday night. We roll from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock on the Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP, or online at valleyfreeradio.org. Join the 8 o'clock Drum and Bass Association by listening to Drum and Bass with DJ Fife, 8 to 10 Saturday nights.
Sundays at 10 a.m., WXOJ's radio show, Occupy the Airwaves, has the latest news from the occupation movement, locally, regionally, nationally, and around the planet. Tune in at 103.3 FM or webcasting at www.valleyfreeradio.org, blogging at occupytheairwaves.wordpress.com. Listeners can call into the show at 413-585-1033.
All right, so we're going to go out... with a song from John Mayer. I don't know, this song was in my head today, so I thought I would play it. I hope you enjoy it. Daughters.
Change, and I've done all I can to stay.
stand on the steps with my heart in my hand. Now I'm starting to see, maybe it's got nothing to do with me. Fathers, be good to your daughters. Daughters will love like you do. Girls become lovers who turn into mothers. So mothers, be good to your daughters too.
Every day,
all over the world,
men, women,
and children
are brutally tortured
simply for their identity or their beliefs.
That's why Amnesty International speaks out
to protect people's basic human rights.
Call 1-800-AMNESTY.
It's your human right.